We're short one verse there. That's okay. Thank you. You know, this song is written many years ago. It's a song, we call it a children's song, but it means so much, even to adults, or it should. I one time had a funeral for a Christian woman, and as we were at the cemetery, and we did the graveside service, and everybody sat there, gloom and doom, if you would call it that. And in that, I looked around and I thought, they're so sad. So I said, I don't know all the verses to this song, or I don't get them right. But I said, let's sing the first verse of Jesus Loves Me. And a few of them took part in it. And it was very uplifting. It took away the doom, if you want to, or the gloom. And I later had the funeral director tell me, he says, you know, I'm not sure, but I think you've started a new thing in graveside services. I've used it several times. I enjoy using it. If you have a Christian that's died, the physical death, and gone home to be with the Lord, what a better way to send them off than a song like this. Jesus loves me, this I know. Jesus loves us. He loves us so much that he gave his life for us. And he has warned us over and over again in Scripture that if we don't have him as our personal Lord and Savior, we will have eternal damnation. We will have the damnation of being separated from God and the damnation of hellfire. We find that so very, very true. And in our scripture text for today, Matthew chapter 7, verses 12 through 14, we're going to see some of this. And I'm going to bring in a couple of other verses along with it too. Let us stand as we read from Matthew 7. Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, make sure you make them know it. No response? No response? That's not what it said. It says, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Now, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in thereby, because narrow is the gate. And difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. These were thy words, Heavenly Father, sanctify us in the truth. Thy word is eternally true. Amen. You may be seated. There are few that find it. Why? Because we don't want to look to God. We don't want to look beyond ourselves. We want to look and see what we think is right. We go back into Deuteronomy. And in Deuteronomy, God is speaking to the Israelites. Now, Deuteronomy is one of the books of the Torah, and it's one of the books of the laws of Moses. It's the book the Israelites use even today. And in that book, in their book, they would read it in Deuteronomy 30, 19. God is speaking Moses to Moses, and Moses is telling the people. And Moses puts it this way in his writing. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you. Whoa, we got heaven and earth witnessing against us? Yeah, but why? Let's go on. I have set, God says, before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. Choose life. That both you and your descendants may live forever. God gave them an opportunity. God gave them an opportunity to choose. He gave us the right to choose. If you're going down a road and it says detour, do you take the detour? You know, the roads today, when they say detour, and then they have a sign on it and it says Rosa 129. We know that 129 has work on it. Don't take that road. I had a man one time, he read when the signs first came out that way. He says it said detour, and I had asked him what took him so long to get to my place. He says it said detour, and I drove 30 miles. But I went through this all this detour and all this here stuff. I says, why did you do that? And he says, it said detour, and then it had a road sign. I says, you don't know how to read road signs. Do we read signs? Do we know the signs that God has given us to read? The signs that God has put before us. We have an epidemic or a plague today. There is much false news in it. There's much true news in it. We find the people lying to make themselves look good. And we see people that'll tell the truth and they get shut down. God says that the narrow road is rough. The narrow road and the narrow way in which to heaven is not smooth, and you do not live in a rose garden. It is one in which people will attack you. It's one in which people will try and do away with you and will take and say all kinds of false things against you. And today, they can accuse you and never tell who they are. And you have to prove your innocence because you've been already said you're guilty unless you can prove your innocence. They're called whistleblowers or anonymous information centers. And we see it more and more. And it's happening more and more. You see, if someone comes to you and they say, this is going to happen, and you ask them, how do they know? And they can tell you the truth, or they can tell you a lie. And they can try and make you think the way they want to think and the way in which they want to go. If we look into 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, starting at verse 13, Paul is writing here to the Thessalonians, and he says, I don't want you to be ignorant. I want you to know that God is coming again. And in his coming, it's not going to be something that's a secret that I'll come to you and say, come with me. God says, when Christ descends with the shout of the archangel and the trumpet of God, the dead in Christ will rise first. Why? Number one, they're in the ground, they're going to rise first. And those of us who remain will be caught up with them together in the air, and we will be forever with the Lord. Then he says, I want you to comfort one another with these words, that Christ is coming again. And Christ wants you in his camp. He wants you to take and say, Lord, you are my Lord and my Savior. He doesn't want you to be fooled. He don't want you to be taken in by the world. He wants you to love him more than the world. You know, some years ago there was, might not have the figures right, there was something like 1,000 ministers in the Washington, D.C. area, New York, in that area. They were given a survey, and they all professed to be Christians. And they all profess that when they die, they're going to be in heaven. Great. How wonderful. But 24% of them said, Jesus never rose from the dead. My question is, how can you preach the word of God and preach Christ crucified? Christ rose from the dead. He's making intercession today at the right hand of God for you and for me. How can you preach that if he never rose from the dead? How can you call yourself a Christian? And they say, everybody's a Christian today. That's not true. We are told that in the last days, there will be perilous times. In Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 3, know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. Men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Don't we see that in the world today? Not only in the United States, but throughout the world. Unloving, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. How it fits our day today. Having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people, it says, Paul says, don't go near them. In Jeremiah was despised or dejected. And he was saying, Lord, I haven't had no converts and people just don't like me. I feel so sorry for myself. And God says, if you repent, you can be my spokesman. I'll let you be my spokesman. But I want you to take the good and don't live in the vile or in the world. And preach the word of God. Preach the warning that God, that I have given you to tell the Israelites and the people. You tell them, they can come to you. You don't go back and live in their world. But I am in the world, but I'm not of the world, Jeremiah would say. And God says, I will make you as a bronze wall. They will not be able to go through you, because what you speak will be words from me, and I will give you the words to speak. And Jeremiah did that. We see that in Amos. Amos says there is a time coming when there will be a great famine. famine of food, famine and pestilences, and there'll be a great famine, Amos says, of the Word of God. People will not hear the Word, and they don't want to hear it. The way to heaven is not one of smoothness. We have people accusing us of a lot of things. We have people threatening us. We have people telling us that we're going to get it. God tells us that as we read Revelation, we can find all the horrible things that's going to come upon the face of the earth. God has sent us these signs, and today we see hurricanes, we see tornadoes, we see all kinds of things, earthquakes, sicknesses. And they're all signs of the end. And we see those things have happened for years. And Peter says, people will say, that's been going on all along. But God says, know the season. Your redemption is at the door. He may call you out by yourself, or he may call out all the Christians. And when the Christians are gone, the Holy Spirit is taken up from the world, and the Antichrist has full sway and full power on earth. We can read it in Revelation chapter 13. It says there'll be great famines, pestilences, and the beast will be wounded as if to death, and he'll be healed miraculously. And he will tell, come, people will worship him. Who can be against such a person as this? And he'll say, I want you to take this mark. And if you don't take this mark, you can never buy or sell. We already have seen that. We've seen statements towards it. That if we don't have certain things or certain vaccinations or certain ways in which we can be numbered, are we true people of the world, or are we aliens? For some reason, they think many of us are aliens. God has given us the warning, and God has told us, beware. You'll be called up in front of the magistrates and the judges. Don't worry about what you speak. I will give you the words to speak. Jesus says, take the narrow road. It's rough, but in the end, you have eternal life. You can sing, Jesus loves me. Power in the blood. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all power and washes away our sin. We take communion to remember what Christ did for us, and to remember that he gave his life for us. We take communion in giving us strength to realize that Christ already has paid that penalty of sin. Jesus says, take the narrow road. Make sure, Jesus says, come unto me, for I am the one that can help you. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I will help you. Call upon me and have me as your personal Lord and Savior. Don't do it on your own. He has warned us over and over and over again. We find that so very prevalent. And we can go into Revelation and we find that there's 21 judgments coming upon the face of the earth. Judgments that we don't want to be part of. And we don't have to be if we have Christ as our personal Lord. We say, what do I do? Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Call upon me. Remember, Jesus says, God's will and God's work is that you believe on the Son that he has sent into the world. Can we do that? Not putting ourselves first. We live in the world, but we're not part of the world. We want to be part of the bride of Christ. That when that trumpet sounds, we're called up with him. And we're caught up with those that have died in Christ. And we'll be in the air and we'll be changed and we'll be forever with the Lord. Praise God that he has given us a way out. And it's through his Son, Jesus Christ. It's through his Son who died on the cross of Calvary, who was willing and fought that battle of sin for you and for me. We pray God would be with us and watch over us in all things, that God would take care of us and keep us in his care, that we wouldn't get frustrated to the point that we would want to take our own life or we would wish we were dead, but we would say, Lord, help me through these days of trial, that your name is glorified, that your name is hallowed, and that your name is the one we look to, and you're the one that we call upon. Heavenly Father, I pray you'd be with us as we have communion and as we go out from this place, that you would not only bless us, but we would glorify your name, and your name would be held high in all that we think, say, or do. I pray, O God, that you would be with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us turn to 441.
(Clears throat)